Turn tonight to 1 Kings chapter number 21. 1 Kings chapter number 21. I want to take the liberty this evening to read four verses in this chapter. And the thought that I see here, and by the way, really when it comes to the matter of a message, you understand that the title is never as important as the content of the portion of Scripture, whether we have a title or not. But for those that are hankering to have some kind of a title, the thought that I have is thanks but no thanks. It says, it came to pass after these things that Naboth the Jezreelite had a vineyard, which was in Jezreel hard by the palace of Ahab, king of Samaria. So here's a man that not only had a vineyard, but I would assume that he had a farm. Nadab actually had a farm, had a portion of land, and that portion of land had a vineyard on it. But see in your mind more than just a vineyard, see a farm, that a piece of property that this man owned. Verse number 2, and Ahab spake unto Naboth, saying, now you know Ahab was one of the most wicked kings, if not the most wicked king of the northern kingdom. He was married to a lady by the name of Jezebel. And of course she shows up in this chapter as well. But Ahab, he's one of these spoiled brat type individuals who felt like that he needed that farm that Naboth had. He felt like he had a right to it because he just happened to be the king. And so if he wanted something, his philosophy of life is just go ahead and get it. Well, let me keep reading. We'll see that. Ahab spake unto Naboth, saying, Give me thy vineyard, that I may have it for a garden of herbs, because it's near unto my house, and I'll give thee for it a better vineyard than it. Or if it seem good to thee, I will give thee the worth of it in money. And Naboth said to Ahab, the Lord forbid it me that I should give the inheritance of my fathers unto thee. Basically, he was saying thanks, but no thanks. I'm going to keep the property. Verse 4, and Ahab came into his house heavy and displeased. In other words, he's the type of person that cannot stand not to get his way. He's going to begin to pout and complain. Then he's going to take it to his wife, the issue, and she's going to basically ramrod the whole situation. And, of course, you know how that turns out. But let me keep reading. Ahab came into his house heavy and displeased because of the word which Naboth the Jezreelite had spoken to him, for he had said, I will not give thee the inheritance of my fathers. And he laid down upon his bed and turned away his face and would eat no bread. Have you ever in your life seen anybody that was more of an example of a spoiled brat than this king? He just pouted, wouldn't eat. He reminds me of a six-year-old kid in this portion of Scripture. But now, it may help us if I keep reading a little bit further. But Jezebel, his wife, came to him and said unto him, why is thy spirit so sad that thou eatest no bread? And he said unto her, because I spake unto Naboth the Jezreelite, and said unto him, give me thy vineyard for money, or else, if it please thee, I will give thee another vineyard for it. And he answered, I will not give thee my vineyard. And so, if you keep reading, you'll find out that his conniving wife, she got involved. Next thing you know, they take advantage of Naboth. And read the chapter and you'll get the rest of the story. But what I want to do tonight is to spend the bulk of the time that we've got left using the thought of thanks but no thanks. But let's pray. Our Father, tonight as we approach the throne of grace, we do so, Lord, with appreciation of your goodness and your blessings. We ask you now tonight to help us, Lord, we that have assembled in this place. Help us, Lord, to find what we need from this portion of your word. Help us, Lord, to be determined more than ever to hold on to the things in life that mean the most, to not be so willing to give in to the whims of the times and to the suggestions of the crowd, But help us, Lord, to learn a lesson this evening from this character whom we're reading about here in this portion of your word. Help us, Lord, to be willing to say thanks but no thanks when the offer that is made is not according to the will of God. Bless us now tonight, and we'll thank you and praise you in Jesus' name. Amen. There used to be an old game show out called Deal or No Deal, and some of you can remember that, but of course you remember how that went. You remember there was an option, take the deal, or if you refuse the deal, it's possible that maybe you could wind up with more money. And sometimes if you become very covetous of more money and don't take the deal, then you go for the big one, then you wind up missing the big one, and so you get nothing. So it's kind of, you know, deal or no deal. But in this particular case here, Naboth held his ground. Naboth did not give in. Naboth had a good reason for not giving up his property to Ahab and to Jezebel. He had some reasons for being that way. Now, there's some application tonight that certainly can be made. I believe that you and I are continually faced with situations, circumstances, opportunities, if you want to call it that, or suggestions on the part of the wrong people or the wrong philosophies to do that which is not right in the sight of God. And I believe from time to time, in fact quite often, we have to be willing to say thanks but no thanks. We have to be willing because of the fact of the right thing to do is to refuse the offer, and the wrong thing to do is to accept the offer. In Naboth's case, he had a pretty good opportunity. He could have, I'm sure, got enough money to cover the worth of his property. He also, if he would have worked with Ahab, I'm sure that Ahab would have probably given him as big of a farm, as big of a vineyard, as the one that Ahab was wanting. Undoubtedly what you have here, you have the property of Naboth that was adjoining the property of the king. And I suppose that what it was, the king was wanting all of that surrounding property. He felt like that would enhance his own estate. And of course, it would be to his advantage if he could just buy up all of that property around his particular place where his palace was, and where everything was set up for his advantage. That's the only thing that I can figure out as far as this is concerned. Now, the king's palace was in Jezreel. And of course, that's where Naboth's vineyard was, Jezreel. His main home was in Samaria, which was the capital of the northern kingdom. So the king had property that was adjoining the same property of Naboth. It was somewhat of a Camp David for the king. In other words, it was not his main estate, so to speak. It was somewhat of a Camp David. And so he felt like he needed to have the property that was owned by Naboth. He was impressed by the property. He felt like that it would enhance his palace grounds. He made a reasonable offer. He said, I'll give you X amount of money, or I'll just give you a property similar or so forth. But Naboth said, thanks but no thanks. I'm just not going to do it. Then we see the pathetic behavior of the king. The king began to pout. He was acting childish. And he certainly was acting in a way that was unbecoming to his position and to his responsibility and his power as a king. You know, if anyone should set an example, it ought to be people that are in leadership. It ought to be people that are carrying the mantle of leadership. You know, leaders have a tremendous responsibility. They have to set the example. They have to model the right attitude. They have to carry the mantle, so to speak. And it's always devastating to an organization, if I can use that illustration, it's devastating to an organization when leadership does not carry its weight. It's always counterproductive. Any of you, ladies and gentlemen, that are in leadership positions, you know what I'm talking about. The buck stops with leadership. It comes back on leadership. This man, he may have been called a king, but he sure wasn't acting like a king. He was acting like a baby. He had his, like someone would say, he had his snoot stuck out. I don't know what a snoot is. I guess it's his lower lip. Have you ever seen a baby with its snoot stuck out? Have you ever seen a pouting baby? Lips stuck out? Usually lower lip. When they don't get their way? You know, society today is filled with a lot of spoiled brats, though. One of the worst things that parents can do is let a kid run around with a snoot hanging out, the lip stuck out, pouting, and not teach them lessons early in life that we don't always get what we want. And that's the very reason why you've got people today that are growing up, that are going to be leaders of our country, leaders of our churches, that have had it so easy, always had their way, that how are they going to handle it when there's a refusal? When someone says no. Now, I know that a lot of times we overemphasize certain points, but some things are noteworthy. I think there's a major communication breakdown throughout our culture today. A major communication breakdown. I think if families would talk more, communicate more, share ideas more, and lean less on modern technology and more on old-fashioned communication, things would be a lot better off. My son and I went over to Olive Garden back there a while back when he came in, and we went over there and had lunch, and I noticed something rather interesting. I think it must have been a father and his daughter seated in a pew. Not a pew, pardon me. Tell I'm a church fellow. See, you know, seated in a booth right across from us. And I'm not exaggerating. If that young girl said anything to what I think was her father the whole time they sit there, I didn't know about it. Not that I was nosing into what was going on, but I know she sat there with that cell phone, text the whole time. I never heard one word of communication that come from her or come from him. And I thought it's sad how today technology is replacing communication. It is a shame. And finally, when the meal's over, she takes her cell phone, they walk out together. But by the way, he's the leader. He's the father. And he could have said to her, "Honey, this is time with you. Let's talk. Let's communicate. Put down the cell phone, please. I want to talk to you." So who gets the blame? Let's blame parents that aren't teaching their kids to learn how to talk, to learn how to communicate. I think it's Bernie telling me today, she's somewhere in a whole family, whole group. Everybody had their cell phone at one time. Nobody talking. Everybody on cell phone. Texting. Well, it's taking its toll because we're not communicating and talking and sharing ideas and giving forth feelings to our families. And that's a shame, you see. Now, we look here at this passage of Scripture, though. We can see here the pathetic behavior of a king. He literally was childish. He was not living up demeanor-wise to his position. Matthew Henry made an interesting point. He pointed out the contrast between Paul and Ahab. He said that Paul could be content in prison, and Ahab could not be content in a palace. And how true that is. You can follow this account, and you can see, you'll find out, that the first lady, Jezebel, responded to the refusal of Naboth, and her response was, "Just kill him." just kill him. I would say to you, just keep reading. Don't read now. Listen to me. But when you get home, just keep reading. That's what's going to happen. Just kill him. But now, why was it? Have you ever wondered why Naboth said thanks but no thanks? Have you ever wondered why he did not want to get rid of his vineyard? He had some reasons. I think a major reason was the fact that this vineyard had been passed down to him by his father. I believe it was something that had been in the family since Israel had taken possession of the promised land. This land had been in the family for generations. It was more than his inheritance. It happened to be his heritage. You know, inheritance and heritage are two different things. This happened to be not just an inheritance. It's one thing to inherit something, but a heritage goes a lot further. And that's what this happened to be. This was prime real estate, no doubt, because the king of Israel had built a palace next door. And so, therefore, this happened to be an elite neighborhood, and nobody in Samaria had a better possession than Naboth had. And the king was thinking, I deserve to have everything. Now here's an application that I'd like to make. You and I, in a sense, have, in a certain sense, a vineyard. We have a vineyard too. And let's call that vineyard an ancient landmark. Let's call that vineyard something like old-fashioned Christianity. Let's call that a heritage. Let's let that vineyard represent to us our heritage, our old-fashioned values, the things that we cut our teeth on, the things that are vital, that are vibrant, that are necessary in Christendom or in our church, or in our homes, and in our lives. Let's let that vineyard tonight represent our old-fashioned Christianity and our profession. Naboth, I believe, was a godly man. Naboth was one who did not bow his knee to Baal. Now, Ahab certainly did, but Naboth didn't. He lived in the midst of an idolatrous society that was not standing for God. Naboth lived at a time when idolatry was rampant across the land. He did not bow to Baal, but Ahab did. This man was a godly man. I believe that Naboth would have been above the average cut of a Christian today in a New Testament church. He would have been a cut above. You see, Naboth was a type of a person, not like many Christians, who bow before God on Sunday and then do business with Ahab on Monday. And you have people like that. They bow on Sunday and then on Monday they do business with Ahab. They forget what they learned on Sunday. They forget the principles and the stature and the testimony and the standards and the joy and the worship and the praise that they conducted on Sunday. And you'd never know they were the same person on Monday. Now you may look at me like, I'm not, like this is ridiculous talk. You'd be surprised. It'd probably shock us all to know who possibly could be even associated with our church that you would never know they were a Christian on Monday. Does that surprise you? I'm talking about some whose business is corrupt, some who talk the wrong language, some who hobnob with the wrong crowd. There are Christians in churches that watch pornography. You listening? It'd surprise you. It would surprise you what goes on Monday. It's really nice. And it's easy to look like a good Christian on a Sunday, but boy, when Monday rolls around. But this man was the real deal. This man did not cut a deal. This man held to his guns. This man said, the property has been in the family. It's a part of my heritage. In Ahab or no Ahab, thanks but no thanks, I'm going to keep it. God help us to have the standards to say thanks but no thanks. I'm going to keep what I got. I'm not going to give up my testimony. I'm not going to turn my back on God. I'm not going to change Bibles. I'm not going to change my music. I'm not going to change my standards. I'm going to be the old-fashioned Christian that I've been down through the years, and it's been good, and I'm not going to change. It wouldn't scare me too bad if a few said amen every now and then tonight. Rain or no rain. I'll tell you what we need. You know, I had a preacher one time, a guy at Piedmont, he's a teacher. And this guy was, he was boring. When this guy preached, he was as dry as last year's bird's nest. Somebody one time made the comment, they said, that guy would make a pretty good preacher if somebody standing behind him with a pen. Stick him every now and then. You know what we need to do sometimes? We need to get excited a little bit, don't we? It doesn't hurt to get excited. We have emotions about everything else in life. Boy, we root for the ball team. We root who's running the fastest car. We don't mind raising our voices any other time. And then we come to church and act like we're half dead sometimes. But here, we see this man who I believe was genuine in the Old Testament. His profession. Not even the king is going to come knocking on his door. He's going to refuse an offer to even the king of Israel. Why? Because he felt like if he took the king of Israel's offer, he would be insulting the king of heaven. So that king had his ear more than the king of Israel. There's a word of application tonight for all of us. My generation, your generation, has a wonderful spiritual heritage. We have been charged with protecting the things of God. We were raised on spirit-filled preaching, old-fashioned praise and worship, God-honoring music, holiness and separation, and we need to pass that down to the next generation. I'm not ready to jump ship. I've been thrilled and happy to be on this ship, and I'm not planning on changing. I'm saying tonight, if the ship that I'm on gets down to the point where there's not very many crew members on it, I'm going to stay on the ship. Because it's the right ship. It's a ship of sticking with our Bible, of sticking to our standards, of doing what's right. This generation is undergoing some changes that I quite frankly don't like. But I've made up my mind. I'm not changing, and neither should any of us, to cater to that which is against our heritage. Our vineyard is worth keeping. Let's not sell the farm. Let's say thanks, but no thanks. Let's have the grit, the determination, and the backbone to hold our ground. That's what Naboth did. Let's hold our ground. His performance now. Well, one day he's out working his vineyard, minding his business, doing what a vineyard keeper would do, cutting the vines, pruning the vines, doing all those things, and the king rides up the chariot. He gave a royal offer, he gave a reasonable offer, and he gave a responsible offer. Most people would have jumped at that offer. It would have pleased the king if Naboth would have accepted the offer. Most people would have said, thanks, I'll take it. That's just the money I've been looking for. Ahab, more than likely what he was going to do, he's going to buy the land, plow under the grapevines, destroy everything that Naboth's fathers had worked for so hard to give him. Naboth saw in that piece of property a heritage passed down involving a lot of work, a lot of sacrifice, a lot of blood, and a lot of tears. Another word of application. Don't sell out regardless of who does the asking. Don't sell out. That's the primary application. I don't care who does the asking, don't sell out. God's our first friend. The Lord's the first one we should seek to please. Don't sell out just to please the crowd. We need to hear that today, don't we? Don't sell out just to please the crowd. No matter how reasonable the opportunity or how reasonable, not only the opportunity, how it looks on the surface, take time to look down the road. Take time to weigh out the consequences of our decision. Never forget that the world, the flesh, and the devil are trying to destroy our heritage. You know, our heritage is really under the guns. You know, folks, have you ever seen a time that it's as hard to see people enthused about old-fashioned things of God as it is now? You ever seen a time? And I've said it before, and it does need to be repeating. We're losing our generation of youth. We're losing it. And why? Why? When I first started going to church, first got saved 30, 40 years ago, you could have a church service like we're having here tonight. You'd have as many youth scattered out across the auditorium as you have adults, as you have older people. What's happened? Well, when you figure it out, let me know. But we're losing our youth. Many are selling out. The world, the flesh, and the devil. And let's kick ourselves in the shin because many of us are to blame. We've let things go on that we should have put a damper on in our homes. And so many people today are treating by attitude, they're literally showing church is not that important. And kids are reading that. I'm amazed at what I see. But here the point is, say thanks but no thanks. We have got to stay with the basics, regardless of the consequences. Naboth's performance was based on the Word of God, I believe. Naboth said, "The Lord forbid it me." That's what he says. The Lord forbid it me. He told Ahab he could not sell the vineyard because God had forbidden it. And that's good enough reason, isn't it? God had forbidden it. And he also made it clear the will of the fathers, the land had been sold or had been in Naboth's family for generations. If he sold it, there would be nothing for his children. So he said, no thanks. So in closing tonight, just a simple point, just a simple application. God help us to always be quick to say thanks but no thanks when it comes to forfeiting the old-fashioned Christianity standards, testimony, and conduct that you and I were introduced to when we came to Jesus Christ. Let the times change. Let the fads change. But let's keep our vineyard. Let's not sell the farm. Let's hold on to what's right. And then let's somehow, some way, learn to again educate the young people on the value of the farm. The problem is many young people don't see the value of the farm. And they need to. Let's pray.